Leaders are influencers, and it's nearly impossible to maximize your influence when you're being dragged down and distracted by crippling anxiety, overwhelming stress, and private doubts and fears. We're unlocking the secrets to being fully present, expanding our potential, and growing our wisdom. Welcome to the Calm and Confident Leader Podcast with your host, Jason Stonehouse. Jason is the founder and lead coach at Life in Process. He helps professionals and leaders conquer anxiety and fear so they can maximize their potential. And now, grab something to write with and engage in today's episode.
We've all been there. Something's said, something's done, and now all of a sudden there's a wall between you and someone else. What do you do with the walls that exist between you and another person? Or better yet, what does a calm and confident leader do when there's awkwardness or tension inside of a relationship that matters? I want to welcome you to the Calm and Confident Leader Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Stonehouse, and today we're going to look practically at what the calm and confident leader looks like in the real world. We're taking a typical challenging situation and we're going to apply what we're learning about being calm and confident to that situation. Again, we're going to deal today with awkwardness or tension-filled relationships. They're inevitable. I mean, if you spend time around humans, there's going to be awkward feelings, and there's going to even be some tension. Sometimes it's through a disagreement, maybe a quick comment, a joke, a misunderstood thought or word that was shared. Sometimes we may feel awkward because we learned something that someone said about us, or we overheard something that applied to us from that particular person. Whether it's something at work, something at home, a relationship with a spouse or a child or a parent, all of these things can make for some really difficult, challenging interactions that we might face. The truth of the matter, though, is that this kind of thing, these walls that get erected between us and another person, they're not at all uncommon. Unfortunately, the way most of us deal with those kinds of things are also not uncommon. In fact, they're usually harmful and very far from healthy. You see, what most leaders and individuals do when there's awkwardness or when there's tension inside of a relationship is we can tend to avoid. We just tend to take different pathways, walk in different hallways, and just not bring up the issue, stuff it down, and that's what good leaders do, right? Or maybe we gossip, we build allies, and we tell, can you believe what she said about me? Can you believe that they're doing that? Man, it's just been so awkward around that person. Have you ever found there to be awkwardness between you and that other person? Because I don't even know how to deal with it. And it's just another form of gossip. Or one of the popular techniques of today is what we call being passive aggressive. We use sarcasm and humor to try to bring up the issue roundabout the way, or don't bring it up at all, but just make comments about how that other person in front of that other person is just awkward or difficult to deal with. Well, regardless of what you do and what you don't do, and regardless of what any leader does or doesn't do, the reality is we are walking around like cubicles with these walls erected between us and the other person. So what do we do about it? What's a calm and confident leader supposed to do when they know, and maybe the other person doesn't even know, but they know that there's some sort of tension between me, the leader, and someone else in my life? Well, here's the answer. Intentional conversations. Intentional conversations. What do I mean by that? I mean that we must choose to have conversations that normalize the tension and relieve the awkwardness. Because we know that these things are normal. We know that we don't want to have awkwardness between us and anyone else in our life, especially a relationship that matters to us. And so the only way it's going to happen is through intentional conversations. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this part, but if you know there's an issue, It's up to you to have the intentional conversation. I know. You think it might be the other person's responsibility. I mean, they're the ones who did the awkward thing. They're the ones who blew up at the meeting. They're whatever it might have been. We who understand and rise above the challenges are going to be the ones to have these intentional conversations. That's what a calm and confident leader does. Now, my guess is you already know that that's the answer. You know that in order to change a tension-filled or awkward relationship, you have to have an intentional conversation. But let's all be honest. We don't have them. You don't have them. And neither do I. Or should I say, they are definitely not my default way of operating. So why do we avoid the one thing that could actually resolve our issues? Let me give you a few suggestions of why you and I aren't having the kinds of conversations that we should be having. Number one is fear. We have given others way too much power in our lives. And they have the power, we've given them the power. Don't think for a second that they've taken it. You have given it. I have given people power in my life to define my value and my worth. To give me a sense of identity is I've given that power to someone else. And that's why we don't have these intentional conversations. Because think about it. If your worth or value as a person or as a leader or as an employee is based on what that other person thinks of you, then you're not going to step into an awkward moment and have an intentional conversation. Because the fear is, if we address these things, then that person is not going to like us. Or sometimes we have the fear that, what if my insecurities about our relationship are actually true? like, what if I go to somebody and say, hey, you know, I've noticed that there's maybe an issue between us, and they're like, yeah, there is. You know, you're a jerk, and, you know, and start kind of going in there and like, oh man, I was kind of hoping that I was wrong, that there wasn't anything between us, and I didn't realize that there was something there. And so sometimes our fears and our insecurities about the relationship keep us from having these conversations. And the thought is, I don't want to introduce more conflict into a system that already has conflict. Now, let me just be honest with you, because I've dealt with a lot of relationships and I haven't always dealt with them very, very well. But I will tell you this, the fear that keeps us from having these intentional conversations, 9 out of 10 times that fear is unfounded. What I mean by that is when I've, on those rare occasions, pushed through the fear and said, I want to have this conversation. You're important enough for me to have this conversation, even though I don't really like it, and even though it's going to be difficult, so on and so forth. 9 out of 10 times, that fear was way blown out of proportion. And that's what tends to happen with our stress and anxiety takes over. So that's the first reason I think we don't have these intentional conversations is we're just afraid. Second reason, I think, is because we're prideful. We are convinced that we are right. It's them that has the problem. It's them that need to kind of talk to me, and they're the ones that need to come and ask for my forgiveness. I'm doing the right things here, and I'm right in this situation. Well, regardless of what your views may be, let me tell you this. Humbling ourselves enough to learn from others, to adjust our thoughts, or to add to our understanding and begin to build synergy with the person. All of those things get missed when we insist that there's only one right way and it's ours. and oh man, I have done this so many times as a leader. And you know, you don't think about it as pride, but whenever you're saying, I'm right and no one else can be add anything to this, nobody else can have any opinion that's different than my opinion, I'm sorry to tell you, that's pride. And it is an ugly thing when it comes into the life of a leader, and especially when it enters into the lives in our relationships. Really, really difficult to deal with. So really humbling yourself so that you can learn from the other person and then either adjust your understanding or add to your understanding and begin to build synergy with that person. But I'm going to give you some ideas on how to actually have these kinds of conversations in just a second. But let me give you one more reason why I think you and I don't have these conversations nearly enough. And that is because we want to avoid conflict. We're afraid, we have pride, and number three, we want to avoid conflict. Some of us simply refuse any situation that could turn into a potential conflict. Somewhere along the way, we got this wrong belief that any form of challenging conversation is just wrong and it's harmful. And so we just avoid them altogether. Maybe you grew up in a home where any form of somebody not being happy was immediately squashed, and you can't bring those feelings around here. I don't know what it is and why we got there, but that's where some of us live. But by doing that, we tell ourselves that we justify in our mind that by not bringing the issue up, we are saving a conflict, and therefore we are caring about the other person. This is how warped our brains get, right? Some of you are kind of nodding along with me right now, and maybe some of you are even saying, is that wrong? Because, isn't it good to, make sure that we don't hurt other people's feelings and all of that kind of thing? Well, that's really your fear talking and your avoidance talking. Because when we start to say things like, well, I'm just honoring their feelings, I'm saving them from grief. But let's be really, really honest with each other and say, this is all about us. It's not them. You're pushing it off on them and you're thinking you're doing a favor to them, but it's our fear and anxiety that is now running the show. And let me tell you something I've learned after dealing with fear and anxiety for a good 7-8 years now. Is the more you feed it, the stronger it grows. So if you feed your fear and your anxiety, the more powerful it will become in your life, and you will begin avoiding even very basic conversations that you need to have. See, as we've learned in The Calm and Confident Leader, is that a calm and confident leader is authentic. They refuse to play games. They refuse to use indirect sarcasm to deal with awkwardness. A calm leader is one who is fully present, and they're not swayed by the anxieties or the emotions of another person. They come to another person, they offer understanding and respect, but they refuse to take responsibility for what others think, what others feel, or what others do. So, all of that being said, I'm hoping that I've made the case to make you say, you know what? I don't want to walk around with this wall between me and this other person any longer. And if the only way for me to break this wall down is to have these intentional conversations, then let me know how to do them. And if that's where you're at, great. If not, feel free to rewind and listen again, because in your case, if you're not ready for this, it's because your fear is speaking so loudly that you're missing out on real wisdom. All right, so here, what do we do when we want to have intentional, healthy conversations? I want to give you 6 thoughts here that I think are going to make a huge difference in the kinds of relationships that are important to you. Number one is initiate a conversation. You've got to start by initiating a conversation. Now remember, this isn't a confrontation. Well, you say, Jason, what's the difference? Well, a confrontation typically is when you have the upper hand. Right? You've been wronged, you've been offended in some way, and so you're going to come to this person and you're going to say, hey, what you said, what you did was inappropriate, and I need to call you on that because I'm your supervisor, or I'm your manager, or whatever. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about these intentional, healthy conversations. We're talking about conversations, not confrontations. Totally different. When you're coming together for a conversation, you're coming together as equals. You're coming with an attitude of resolving the tension. And this is so key. When your mindset from the very beginning is you walk in seeing yourself not as better than that person, but seeing yourself as someone who is trying to resolve a tension and to restore health in a relationship that's important. That's the attitude you need. And when you come with that kind of attitude, it will motivate you and it will prepare you for the kind of conversation that you need to have. So initiate a conversation, not a confrontation. Number two, seek to understand first, not to be understood. Stephen Covey popularized this phrase in the Seven Principles book, but he really talks about this idea of seek to understand first, not to be understood. See, the reality is, in whatever your situation is, and I don't even need to know the specifics to tell you this, something was said, something was experienced that didn't feel good. And so likely, there's some missing information. There's a gap between what you know and what the other person knows. Because there's a reason they said what they said or did what they did, and you don't have that information right now. So you need to go as a good investigator, trying to understand what was going on, what happened in that situation, why was that person responding the way that they responded, or why did they bring up the issue that they brought up? See, the goal is not to be right, or even to get your own opinion validated. The goal is to understand where the other person is at and why they arrived at their viewpoint. Let me be honest with you. This conversation may or may not result in agreement between the two of you, but the goal is not agreement. Peace and health is the goal. All right? Number three is to respect that others' opinions and feelings are valid and based on their perspective and experience. Let me say that again. Respect that others' opinions and feelings are valid and based on their perspective and experience. See, before you're going to be able to have any kind of influence on shifting someone else's perspective, they need to know that you honor their perspective. And so I need to enter into this conversation with you, respecting your opinions, respecting your feelings, and realizing that those opinions and feelings didn't just fall out of the air. They're valid. You've got a perspective here that's valid, and you've got some experience that I don't have. You've been through some things. Maybe you met somebody just like me, and I reminded you of them, and that's why you reacted that way. Well, I didn't know that piece of information, but based on your experience, I could see why you've been a little sensitive around me. Do you see how something like that could go? So respect the other person's opinions and feelings are valid based on their perspective and experience. All right, let me review our first three principles, and then I'm going to give you our last three. Number one, initiate a conversation, not a confrontation. Number two, seek to understand first, not to be understood. Number three, respect that others' opinions and feelings are valid and based on their perspective and experience. And now, the last three. Number four, recap what you're hearing to ensure that you got it. Before you share your thoughts, before you get defensive, before you try to explain and extrapolate your opinions and thoughts, make sure that you are tracking with their opinion, even if you don't agree with it. Well, you say, how do you do that, Jason? Well, here's what I'd recommend. You might say something like, so what I hear you saying is, and then share what you heard them say. And then at the end of that sentence, say, did I get it right? What did I miss? And they might say, well, you got it mostly right, but the really thing I wanted you to hear was this piece. Oh, okay. So what I'm hearing you say now is the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Is that correct? Yes, you got it. And once they know that you understand them, again, you're not saying it's right or wrong. You're just saying, is this your viewpoint? Is this what you're trying to say? Once they know that, then they're going to be able to hear number five, which is to graciously share your thoughts and your perspective. So you've got to, this is what I call a lot of times when I'm working with married couples or premarital couples, I say, this is the step two of conversation. Step one of conversation is one person talks. Step three of every conversation is the other person responds. Step two, which most people skip, is to validate or make sure that you understood what the other person was saying. That is such a key step. But then once you have that, now it's your turn to graciously share your thoughts and your perspective. Own it as your own, rather than assuming yours is the truth. Let me tell you something. The truth in this particular matter is likely to lie somewhere between your perspective and their perspective. It rarely, if ever, is with one person completely. Usually the truth is somewhere in the middle. So be careful not to manipulate or guilt or use any other unhealthy strategies to try to coerce the other person into your viewpoint. Just share your thoughts and your perspective and own it as, this is the way I saw that. This is what I intended. This is what my thoughts are. Don't assume that your viewpoint is truth and theirs is falsehood. No, you're just sharing your thoughts. And then number 6, discover new ways of handling future similar situations. So you might want to ask something like, how would you prefer me to handle this in the future if I sense some awkwardness or tension in our relationship? And they might say, what you just did was great. Or they might say, I would prefer if you maybe would do it in a different way, or maybe approach me a little sooner than you approached me this time, or whatever they might do. They're going to give you some feedback about the best way to make sure that this relationship stays healthy and strong. So let's go through these 6 principles to intentional, healthy conversations. Number 1, initiate a conversation, not a confrontation. Number 2, seek to understand first, not to be understood. Number 3, respect that the other's opinions and feelings are valid and based on their perspective and experience. Number 4, recap what you're hearing to ensure that you've got it. Number 5, graciously share your thoughts and perspective as your own rather than as just the truth. And number 6, discover new ways of handling future similar situations. Look, relationships aren't easy, and any good relationship is going to require work. Every good relationship requires work. You might want to write that down. But listen, by being emotionally healthy and understanding what's happening inside of us, we can then show up differently in our relationships with others. That's why one of the major emphasis of the Calm and Confident Leader is really becoming self-aware and becoming healthy ourselves emotionally and relationally, and really understanding the change from the inside out. And when you begin to understand what's happening inside of you, then you can show up differently in your relationships with other people. What I've just walked you through, I want to just be very plain with you. What I just walked you through is rare. You're going to find that most folks will not operate this way. But as the calm and confident leader, you and I get to infuse health into our environments. And this is one of the best ways for us to do it. Let's model the right kinds of conversations that we need to have with other people. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Calm and Confident Leader podcast. My guess is, as you listen to this, there's somebody in your world who you know who would benefit from this content. So I'm just going to ask you a favor. How about just share it? Just say, hey, I listened to this really cool podcast. It had some helpful things. I thought you might find value in it as well. And just share the link, you know, whatever it might be. Also, one of the best ways that you can help us get the word out is by leaving a comment and a review on whatever podcast service that you use and that you're listening to us from right now. Well, I am so happy that you have taken the time to listen to the Calm and Confident Leader podcast. We have a brand new website. We're just actually in the process of getting all the pieces up, but it's called calmconfidentleader.com. calmconfidentleader.com. And if you want to check that out, I'd love to hear your opinions and thoughts and ways that we can make that website even a better resource and tool for you going forward. I look forward to talking to you on our next episode of the Calm and Confident Leader. Enjoy today.